Penguin Random House Audio presents Peggy, a novel by Rebecca Godfrey with Leslie Jameson. Read for you by Rebecca Lohman. With a note on the text read by Leslie Jameson. Featuring a bonus interview with Leslie Jameson conducted by David Ebershoff. Part 1. Old Masters. I adore floating. Peggy Guggenheim. Prologue. I am the daughter of two dynasties. I am believed to have more money than anyone in this city, second only to our neighbor Rockefeller. Both my grandfathers were born in stables, like Jesus, and both came to America in steerage, running from Bavaria and Switzerland. These are not fables. These are not myths of the American dream. The facts. Both were 14 dark-haired boys, mute at first, then stumbling with the consonants of English. Joseph and Meyer, these were my grandfathers. And both men were peddlers, peasants, despised. In the Midwest, they knew neither cowboy nor coal miner. They sold shoehorns, spectacles, shoelaces, glue, cigars. If they got word two hens were sick in a village, they walked 20 miles to this village and sold off their own two hens. Soon, Meyer invented a kind of stove polish. Soon, he was selling uniforms to the U.S. Army. Then it was mines, amassing 100 all the silver mines in Alaska and Chile, all the copper mines in Mexico. Joseph learned math, stocks, and began his own bank. President Grant wished him to run the Department of Treasury. He said no, he was too shy. By the time I was born in 1898, Manhattan was hurtling toward a kind of European regality. And my grandfathers were no longer peasants, but kings, driven toward the gilded palaces all along Fifth Avenue. I have 12 uncles, Washington, Samuel, Eugene, Jefferson, DeWitt, Isaac, Daniel, Murray, Solomon, Robert, William, Simon. It is these brothers who will be placed in charge of the fortunes. Anyone could know this would cause trouble, but no one does. My mother's family, the Seligmans, are a discreet, distinguished family. Whispers suggest my father married her for her cachet. Her ancestors were from a less bawdy part of Germany. The Guggenheim fortune came not from banks or offices, but from the dank dirt of mines, underground, filth. Eldest Daniel is said to be the wisest, Senator Simon the most powerful, but it is my father, Benjamin, who compels the city. He's dashing, the papers say. He's nicknamed the Silver Prince. In the portrait of Guggenheim and Sons, the men are all unsmiling, mustached, with high wide collars and heavy waistcoats. They've erased every trace of peasant. Only my father grins. He's at the end of the long, burnished mahogany table. He's sitting on the arm of a chair, leaning back. All the other men stare straight ahead, a kind of confrontation, a unified posture of assurance, but my father looks off as if to another room. His brothers hold an open book, a fountain pen. His father touches the model of a mine. Even then, I see now, my father was plotting his glorious escape. The tragedy of our family, at least the tragedy before the one I am about to unfold here, is simply that my parents had only 3 daughters. In a portrait taken in Switzerland, the 3 of us are dressed in white. We wear wide boater hats, white cotton dresses, ruffled ankle socks. I'm 10. I hold a bouquet of flowers on my lap. My dress has pleats and a soft line of lace. Hazel is 5, with ringlets and dimples, a bow in her hair. Benita is 14. She stands over us, her long neck, her tapering fingers, her chin lifted only slightly. Her sleeves are puffed at the shoulder, ruffled at the wrists. We appear lush and crisp. We're clouds. We're temporary. We're pure sweetness, the tipped flower of a wedding cake. We're the white of things that hover and tempt, groomed for silliness and ease. And so I am the daughter of a dynasty, but I became nothing more than a dilettante. My sister, known as a murderess. Are you surprised? Perhaps you should be. Perhaps this is only what they've said about us. Only the beginning of what we became. I was born on Park Avenue, 1898. We lived in a strange and lavish mansion. My father filled the home with his whims and treasures, a bald eagle he'd shot, a corot, a watteau, caged slippers from Morocco. There was a glass dome that let in the stars, an immense stairwell, a separate floor for his daughters, an elevator that terrified us all. The walls were gloomy and heavy with gray-green oil paintings of grandfathers, immense gilt mirrors, and the dark weight of tapestries depicting such scenes as Alexander the Great's triumph in Rome. It seemed strange to us, almost illicit, that my father let us live this way. We were supposed to be quiet and hidden and discreet, partly out of imitation of the Havemeyers and Huntingtons and Rockefellers, but partly because we weren't supposed to be here at all. It was understood that if we made too much noise or show, the world would come out as they did when my grandfather was shuffling about in Ohio. Jew, Sheeny, Christ killer. Men stoned him, threw him into the dirt. My mother wore a single diamond. My sisters and I hid under white sailor hats and gloves. We were ushered by governesses between 60th and 80th streets, between the small world bordered by Park and Fifth. Even our clocks ticked quietly. The elevator made no sound. The servants' feet were silent. The worst you could say about a girl was she's showy. Our clothes came from Paris, silent as they were slipped onto our quiet bodies. These dresses must be of the best fabrics, but never be too bright, must never look too new. We spoke in code, in abbreviations. Our home was known as 15, and to others in our crowd, we were known simply as the Googs. When we, the quiet girls with our Christian names, became ill, we were sent away to hotels in New Jersey. A mere cough, it seemed to us, might sicken the calm of these clean, pleasing rooms. The wealthier you were, the more inconspicuous you must be. 3 years after my father supposedly disappeared, my sister tries to do the same. In the papers, a headline will appear, "Guggenheim Heiress Lost." In White Plains, Hazel and my mother rested together at the Willetts mansion. At 10 in the morning, after receiving a scolding from my mother, Hazel simply disappeared. Hours went by. The sun began to fall. My mother waited a few hours before calling the police, and then an entire force of deputies was brought in. Every room of the mansion was inspected. Guests and grooms at a nearby hotel joined in the search. The green fields bloomed with men in white linen waistcoats. It was assumed that she'd been kidnapped. It was assumed, wrongly, that my sister was the daughter of a great fortune. Guards were placed at the railroad station. My mother insisted the men widen their circles. She believed my sister must have run beyond the searched route. At the railroad station, all trolley cars were stopped. On the roads, every auto held in place. "Have you seen a little girl?" One sheriff left the group and went alone toward the old ruins near the mansion. Crumbling stone, ivy and wisteria tangling at his feet. He headed toward the faint skeleton of a wide wall. He saw a glimpse of something white through the trees. He ran after the whiteness.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?